Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Wow, it's so good to be back in the house together. For you, it's been a couple of weeks. For me, it's been six. I've been away on long service leave. And for everyone watching at home, welcome to the state of play as it was last week for you, but a little different to be in here together. Just so, so good. I had a great break. It was a really good time to be able to rest and be out of the day-to-day busyness and decision-making and other things. Although some of our holiday got ruined by COVID. You can all associate with that. Your week holiday this last week, your Ecker Show holiday got ruined by COVID. How dare it? And if you're watching online and you're not even from Brisbane and you might be thinking, what on earth is the Ecker? What is this guy talking about? It's our Royal Agricultural Show where we do an amazing opportunity of coming together and sharing germs with one another. So that's why it's got called off. But it's where, you know, the country comes to the city where we get to enjoy age-old traditions like Sideshow Alley, where every game and side stall, each with their own carnival talker, I've always liked that about Sideshow Alley, competes, of course, with every other alluring attraction of the exhibition. The neon blinking lights, the blaring music out of cheap speakers, the smell of freshly popped popcorn mixing with not so exotical animal stuff and diesel smoke in the air. It's all a little bit crazy. There's that wheezing, teasing noise, of course, of the carnival tunes that are going on and screaming riders and those little stuffed beckoning toys up in the stands, you know, that you want to win for your kids. And of course, the job of the carnival talker, the person at the front, is to be able to beckon everyone in. Ride up, roll up, step right up. Come on, guys, grab your girls. Come on, girls, grab your guys. You could even win a prize. Yeah? Everyone's a winner, guaranteed. No. There's a saying in our cynical and wary culture that says, it's just too good to be true. It's not just the Ecker. Advertisers expose us to these anti-aging creams that seem to put you back 25 years to plumper, wrinkle-free skin within a matter of weeks. Just too good to be true. Because it is. But right at the beginning of Isaiah 55, our passage that we're going to be looking through in this series we've started called Arise with regards to looking at the book of Isaiah, we have this urgent invitation that sounds almost a little too good to be true. A dozen or so imperative verbs from the first seven verses, there's this urgent tone. It might be a happy urgent tone, but there's this urgent tone to come and an invitation for the listener to eat and drink for free, to listen and to live, to experience everlasting covenant of steadfast love, to be glorified, to find the Lord and to receive His mercy. Let me read it to you. If you've got your Bibles there, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through to 7. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen and you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander to the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. At first pass, it sounds almost a little too good to be true, doesn't it? Like the promises of a carnival talker or an ad agency. Everyone's a winner. Come on in. It's all free. But these offers, they don't come from someone who's trying to exploit our weaknesses, but from a God who wants to save. These promises, they have the backing of the one who created the whole universe, who is willing and able to fulfill each one of his promises. The one who waits longingly, like a good father does, for a wayward child to return, just waiting and hoping for the opportunity to give, to satisfy, to love, to save. That's what this passage is talking about. Isaiah painting this radical picture of a generous nature of the God of love, a God who can save, a God who blesses. And when people are revived to life in Jesus, this is what you can expect to experience. Back in chapter 53, a couple of weeks ago, the Isaiah prophet Isaiah described in amazing detail, 700 years ahead of time, mind you, how Christ would come and suffer, how he would bear all the sins of his people, of the people, and die in our place to rise again. The one who knows the suffering bore on himself brings then an invitation for us to enter into his blessing. And in chapter 54, Isaiah foresees some of the great blessings that will come to God's people because of a Messiah. Because he's overcome their problem with guilt and with sin. And Isaiah 54, at the beginning of that chapter in verses 2 and 3, it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities." In other words, the prophet is proclaiming of a time when one of the great blessings that would come to the people of God would be because of Christ's death and resurrections that the nations would be touched. Christ's redemption was never just for the Jews. He allowed and paid for the price for all nations to come. And God's heart for revival is that it would touch every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And we're charged to carry the flame of God's revival fire. The whole reason we're talking about Isaiah is it gives this wonderful picture of a people who had been exiled, and as they come and as they return under the kingship and the lordship of their God, they can experience what it's supposed to be like to be in the kingdom. And today we're going to explore what it looks like when revived hearts, because of what Christ has already bore and paid for, allowed the blessing to flow into our lives, and we would enjoy our God. We would enjoy the fact that we are saved. We would enjoy coming and eating for free. And that's what it leads to in this first seven verses of Isaiah 55. If redemption is accomplished and God's will is that the blessings of this redemption spread to all the nations, then it doesn't surprise us that God would give this most amazing invitation not just to a few and not just to those who can pay their way, but to everyone. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. They say that by the time you actually are thirsty, you're already dehydrated. I remember hiking some of the scenic rim in summer months. It was dry and it was hot, and I was out for a couple of days. And of course, you take as much water for the day as you can, but you know, 2 or 3 liters, maybe 4 as much, won't see you through the really hot southeast Queensland summer. But that's okay, because I knew where I was going, that there was going to be water available. So I thought, because I'd been there before, I knew there was a water source there up in those mountains. But when I got there, the cattle had been there and it was dried up as much as it could be, except for just a little slimy part in a corner where obviously the cows had been there. It looked like the exhibition, if you know what I mean. But when you're extremely thirsty and you need water because your body's already in a state of dehydration, you'll take of that water. You might boil it, you might purify it, you'll do whatever you can to kill whatever's in there that's not good for you, but you're still longing for, wanting to take the source that you know is going to bring you relief. Thirst becomes an indicator of our need. It becomes an indicator of something we're lacking, something that we are missing. It acknowledges the need, but you can ignore it, of course, to your own peril. Ignore the life-giving need you have for water, and you'll soon find yourself in serious trouble. And this natural indicator is as it should be. And we need something to come into us in order to be as we should be. But it's the same in a spiritual sense. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts for God, the living God. Here's the picture of a dry wilderness, lacking life-giving water. And the desire of the deer to find fresh water, it's a metaphor the psalmist is using for the presence of the living God. And we need to thirst for God. We need to have our own personal motivation of the understanding there's something missing. I'm lacking of something, and there's only one place to get it. You see, the only qualifier on this amazing invitation that the prophet Isaiah is speaking on behalf of the Lord is that those who are thirsty can come. That's it. That's the only qualifier. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you will have, you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. If you're thirsty but you're broke, it doesn't matter. The only qualifier is that you're thirsty. And if you come to church here this morning, or you're listening to us online, and you have a thirst in your heart, that's all you need. That's the starting place. If your heart feels like the desert ground where it hasn't rained for a long time, a lot of old hopes perhaps have dried up, dreams have wilted and maybe waned, almost died, dead-end streets again and again, empty, unfulfilled, dissatisfied, knowing there has to be something more to life. But now everything that looks good is out of reach. No money, no motivation, no strength, but at least a longing, a thirst. God says, you qualify if you just have the thirst. That's all I'm after, he says. Come, everyone who thirsts. If you've got no money, you've got no resources, you've got no bargaining position, no track record, no power, no prestige, no pull, God is inviting you today to find yourself fulfilled and satisfied in him. What an invitation. John 6:35, Jesus says to the people, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Never thirst. What a promise. Spiritually, you'll never be dehydrated if you come and drink of him. There's an invitation from Jesus that is the same invitation that God gave through the prophet Isaiah. Now, I know some of you are sitting here going, well, I'm just not thirsty. And then some of you are sitting here and go, I'm just so desperately thirsty. Some of you have correctly identified your need, your lack. But there are those today who are also listening who are just saying, well, that's just not me. I'm just not thirsty. And if that's the qualifier, then I have some good news for you, because God in his grace extends an invitation to you as well. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. In verse 1, God says, he who has no money, come. In verse 2, he talks about someone who has money, someone who has resource, someone who has the strength to work. The first person is spiritually bankrupt. They're broke and they know it. And so they come out of desperation. They come thirsty out of their lack. But the second kind of person isn't there yet. They have money and they're spending it. They have strength and they're working. But what's the result? Frustration. This person isn't like the other person. They're not at the end of their rope. They're not in burnout. They're not kind of looking around. They're still spending. They're still working. They're still dreaming. They're still chasing. They're still searching. They're still experimenting. Different job, different city, different car, different house, different partner, new boat, new diet, new looks. There's still a lot of looking around left in this person, but ultimately no satisfaction. The applause fades, the style passes, everything that was new gets old, and the options get fewer. I was so thankful for the Olympics while COVID was on. Lockdown, I mean. COVID's still on, by the way. I chose to preach today so I didn't have to wear a mask for a little bit. The option's not available for anyone else next week. But I was so thankful for the Olympics. I watched a lot while we were in that last lockdown. I don't know. I've always loved sport. I was a phys ed teacher once upon a time. Yay for the Olympics. There was a woman who competed for Australia and won the silver medal in the high jump, Nicola McDermott. She's been doing the rounds on social media because of what she said. In the pursuit of her sporting success, she said that there was a large turning point in her career when she realized no gold medal could bring lasting satisfaction to her heart. She writes it like this. She said, I discovered satisfaction was not found in performance, but found in a person. Everything changed when I was introduced to Jesus. It was not the religious kind of meeting that presents itself once a week, but it was the intimate encounter which had impacted every single day of my life since I made a decision to follow him. The decision has overflowed, a love in my heart to see His will done, to make His gospel known in every nation, every stadium, every school, church, and community I travel to. High jump was once a performance-driven passion to bring meaning to life. Yet now with God, she writes, it's an international platform to make the unbiased, consistent love of the King known. Woo-hoo. There's someone who gets it. And if you're really honest with yourself today, you know there's a deep need. There's a deep longing on the inside, no matter how self-sufficient you look on the outside. And God knows that even better than you. And He has you in mind when He says, why do you spend money for bread which is not bread, and labor for dreams that do not satisfy? And I think if everybody in this room was honest, we'd have to admit to belong to either of those two verses. We've either recognized our lack, our need, our longing, and we're thirsty, and the invitation is come. We have no power, we have no money. The invitation is come, buy and eat without it. It's okay, be satisfied, fill, come. Or we're still running around trying to look for that gap to be filled within our lives, and Jesus knows it, God knows it. The prophet Isaiah spoke about it on his behalf and said, there's an invitation still for you. Listen to me, are the very next words. Everything you've been chasing is like a cruel mirage of water on the horizon in the desert. All of that will let you down and you'll not be satisfied. But come. Come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Listen to me and you'll eat what is good. You'll enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love that I promised to David. Now, don't get lost here in your choice for water or milk or wine, okay? I almost hear it, some people crying out for, can I have a soy option, please? Or, wine? I thought God was a Baptist, you know? The metaphor is about good, rich food that is in abundance. This is what brings nourishment. It's what quenches desire and brings life. But don't miss this, because in verse 3, it gives us the understanding of the reality that is behind the imagery. You know, milk. My boy Jake drinks a lot of milk. We go through like liters and liters of milk every day. If we want a bottle of wine, we'd drive down the road to the bottle, though. But milk and wine back then, like, you had to go milk the beast for the milk. You had to go produce the wine. It's laborsome. You know, there's a time involved. It's not just going down the shops because we run out this morning. If you run out of wine in the morning and you recognize that, you have a problem. I'm talking about milk there. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you'll find life. It's in God. He says, listen to me. It's in God that we find the life-giving nourishment and joy that brings life to our spirits. He goes on in verse 3 to say that when we come to Him, He makes a covenant with us. What type of covenant? An everlasting one, praise God. The same type of covenant he made with King David. You can find out about that in 2 Samuel verse 7, chapter 7. Just go through and read the type of covenant that's steadfast, sure, love covenant. That means that when you come to God, he binds himself by an unbreakable oath to pursue you with goodness and mercy all the days of your life right into eternity. Praise God. So I hope by now you're starting to get a little thirsty. How do you access this kind of blessing? In verses 6 and 7 it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him when he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to me, the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." Seek the Lord while he might be found doesn't mean he's trying to hide from you. He's trying to hold back the blessing. Oh, I've done something wrong, God's withholding. It means he respond to God while he's got the invitation open. Pay attention to the lack, the need, and come to the one who can only satisfy. There are times and seasons in our life when it's kind of almost easy to seek and find the Lord. The majority of people become Christians when they are young people, when they're kids and teenagers. That's a time when, you know, youth camp and youth group and other places where people are searching and longing for answers of identity and understanding and world and where they fit, that they can find the truth in God's word, and many respond who are involved in those environments. We sometimes feel drawn to seek the Lord's blessing when we get married, when my baby joins the family. We feel drawn to seek the Lord's help or illness or grief take over our lives. That brings us to our knees. And there are other moments when, for no apparent reason, we feel the mysterious drawing of the Lord. And it's our response in those moments that will determine the direction our lives will take, possibly for the rest of eternity. It's vitally important we admit the Lord into our lives in these moments where he might be found, when he is near, when you realize you have the need, pounce on it. Seek and call. That's what people do when they're really thirsty. They will look for water. They will ask for water. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open." And it goes on in this place of the context of the passage to talk about receiving of the Holy Spirit. Our thirst is meant by the outpouring of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You won't find it in the dryness of religion. You won't find the blessing in this invitation of life in the dryness of knowledge only. You'll find it when you respond, because Holy Spirit will give you an experience of the very love of God that is talked about in this passage. The joy that is talked about in this passage. John 7. On the last day of the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood at a loud voice. He said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Sound familiar? "Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Your thirst is met by the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. Have you realized a need to be again refreshed and blessed and made new and whole in the presence of his Spirit? Abiding within you. And his invitation to drink is to partake of the Holy Spirit. The only qualifier is, are you thirsty? You know, as we talk about revival, as we plan and we prepare and we get ready and we steward carefully all that God is doing amongst us, we have to be careful not to fall to the lie that it's about us. It's about what we can do. This is not a human thing. This is a God thing. The invitation is to come to Him. The invitation is to drink of Him, to eat of Him. And it's free. But you've got to realize that you've got no part, no offer, no strength. Listen to me. Come to me and you will live. I'll make this everlasting covenant with you. I'll forgive you. My grace and my mercy will be poured out upon you. Become the conduit for the Holy Spirit of God to not only refresh, bless, and nourish you, but to bless others. God is the source of water. The Spirit is God. All you have to do is recognize your need and come. There's something that happens in us when we put aside our agendas, we put aside our plans and our desires, and we get a taste for the living God, the God of the overflow, the God of the breakthrough. Remember that word? Breakthrough. I said we're going to keep going for it until we see it. We find it in Him. If you've been starting to drift away and your thirst is not even recognizable yet, you need to return to the need, the lack. Come, buy, eat, enjoy. Everyone in this room, everyone watching online right now is somewhere within these four steps, and I call you today to just take one more. If you're distant from God, you need to come now and draw near to Him. While the invitation, while He might be found, while the invitation is open, while you recognize your need, respond and come. Thirst is the only qualifier. If you've been drawn near in recent days or months, maybe just today, but you're holding back from a transaction, evaluating and assessing, you need to buy. I know it's a strange pattern of words, isn't it? You have no money, come and buy. It's meaning, come and make the transaction as if you bought it and it's now yours. Possess it, own it. Own both the need and the lack, and own the responsibility to come before the only one who can satisfy and find yourself full in Him. And if you've made the transaction to hold the water, the milk, the wine in your hand, don't leave it there. It's not there to be looked at. It's there to be enjoyed. It's there to be taken. It's there to be eaten. Come, buy, eat, and finally, delight. Enjoy. Delight yourself in the Spirit of the Lord. Isaiah 55, just a little later on in verse 12 says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Talking about the nation of Israel on return out of exile, how they will find this great joy as they set their eye forward to what God is calling them towards. God is calling us as a church towards the nations of the world. To take a revival fire that was stirred and started in our hearts and let the flame of His love burn so brightly in us that it goes to the nations of the world. It's not my vision, it's His vision. It's what He's promised, it's what He started, it's what He wants to accomplish, and He's simply looking for people who will be open, who are thirsty. It's the only qualifier. You can't buy it. You have no strength for it. It's about coming and drinking of Him until you've had your fill, and then come back again and again and again, because it's never ending, it's everlasting, and it's in us to go through us and to bless the nations of the world. Delight yourself in the Lord. You might say with the psalmist in Psalm 16, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures evermore. Do you know it today, or are you stuck in a COVID funk? Do you know it? Have you come? Have you bought? Have you eaten? Are you enjoying? Take the next step. No matter where you are, take the next step. Stand with me. I want to pray for us. Oh, Lord God, we just want to take the next step. The next step to come, for some that's going to be today to come. And right now, if that is you and you need to come, come down the front, come and respond. Come to our prayer team who will be ready to pray with you. Come and receive what the Lord has for you. If you've recognized today you are thirsty, the invitation, seek Him while He is near. Now is the moment. If you have realized in your life your thirst again for the living water only Jesus can give, come and respond. Come and respond again. Maybe you're just wrestling with the transaction. Many of us are good givers, few of us are good receivers. And the kingdom is all about receiving what's not yours. By grace and mercy, it's yours. But if you don't lay hold of it, you may well not even have been given it. Some of you are wrestling in the transaction of coming and taking a hold of the bread, the milk, the wine of God Himself, and the fullness of the joy of the salvation that is on offer this morning. Come, use this song to spend time with the Lord, to dig in deep, get on your knees before Him, pour out your heart, make the invitation again to come and find yourself full and enjoy the presence of God. And this week, Lord God, I pray right now that as we go out of this place, Holy Spirit, fill and overflow, that everywhere we go this week, we'd be like a well for those who don't yet know You, because we carry the life-giving water, the promises of coming to You to drink and to be satisfied and filled, that living water would literally flow out of us this week into our neighborhoods, into our communities, into all around us. And eventually, Lord, we're praying for the nations, God, to release us to the nations. It looks impossible in these times ahead, but You, our great God, make all things possible, even more than we can hope, imagine, or dream. We thank You that Your desire is that the nations again would be turned upside down, bringing new life, revival in You. Take us, use us, reignite us, we pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.